Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Two big beasts of European football crashed out of Euro 2020 yesterday. The Netherlands lost to the Czech Republic and Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal lost to Belgium. We now know what two of the quarterfinal matchups will be, but there's still much more to settle today and tomorrow. And joining us again to pick all of this apart is Guillaume Balague, presenter of the Pure Football podcast and Spanish football journalist. Good morning, Guillaume.
Good morning. Good morning.
So let's start with your team up against Croatia in just a few hours. That's a 5 p.m. kickoff today. It's not an easy tie by any standards, but COVID is playing a role again in this tournament.
Yes, Perisic, a scorer of two goals for Croatia, and with Modric, the best player that Croatia have, has fallen down to COVID. He's been positive. Everybody else has been negative, so they're able to play. And he will be out for at least 7 more days, which is terrible news for the neutral but for the Croatian fans, but only for the neutral and the Croatian fans.
Yes, and we know what you're saying there. How hopeful are you ahead of this match?
Well, Spain, I think football is the only thing in the world that can change the mind as dramatically as he has been with just one game. And by beating 5-0 Slovakia, millions of Spaniards think completely different about the side. I think only a hug or a kiss can change the mind of people, but that's only individually. A game, 5 goals, and everybody thinks that now Spain, it's looking forward to meeting France, forgetting that there is Croatia still to beat. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't been lack of respect, really, for Croatia. There's a lot of respect for it. We beat them 6-1 in the Nations League recently, but then when we needed to get a result, went to Croatia and lost 3-2. So it's a very equal side. Modric still absolutely crucial in the middle, but there is that thing that is impossible to get in one tablet or by just talking. Confidence, which seems to be going through the Spanish side at the moment.
Well, of course, because you've had that 5-0 win over Slovakia last week.
Yes, and that was down to the way we played, being effective, in brackets, Slovakia not being very good. But generally, you still have to beat them. I mean, France could have been Hungary, for instance, and England could have been Scotland, and we did beat Slovakia. Goals came from all over the place, but of course, there is still one or two things that we think, we missed a penalty. It's 5 consecutive penalties that we missed. So in a penalty shootout, we'll be the laughing stock of the whole of Europe if that happened. But yeah, there is the impression that Luis Enrique always had, and we didn't trust him, we didn't believe him when he said, it's like it's like a bottle of cava about to be opened, Spain. And then he did open, we scored 5 goals. I hope that's the beginning of something.
Well, and alternatively, I hope it hasn't gone flat and you'll be hoping that too.
Thank you.
A side issue then, your striker who's been getting a lot of abuse online, not just him, but also his family. And there has been a suggestion from the manager that this should be a police matter.
Yeah, good point you make there, because Morata, who is somebody really affected by the opinion of others, has been going on social media and he has been reading threats to his family, to his kids, basically because he responded to original social media proposals that he should be out of the team. He didn't like that. He responded and he got even more threats. Luis Enrique says it should be a matter of police. I've got a theory about this. I think we are all trolls, but some have got the mechanism to stop that, to actually write something against somebody, but many don't. And those don't realize the effect they have on people. Or maybe they do. Maybe that's what they want. Certainly, Morata seems affected. Let's see if he plays today. But when he was talking about it, he broke down a couple of times. So you can tell that things have got a consequence and an effect.
Why is he reading that stuff, though? I know a lot of the Premiership clubs have very strict policies in place to protect their players from that abuse.
Yeah, that's again a good point. It hasn't been a debate in Spain. It's been very strong in the Premier League with even that blockade, you know, for like 3 days. Neither of us that related to football clubs, etc., did not post anything as a way of saying, you know, we don't like abuse in social media. But that hasn't really been a debate in Spain. It may start now. We all thinking, you know, it's part of social media. You have to deal with it. No, sorry, you don't. You actually can look at it and think, you know, point out who is doing it. Try to maybe even get the police involved, as Luis Enrique says, and do say, you know, those things have got an effect. You cannot just have a go at kids. Mm-hmm. But it won't stop. It won't stop.
Listen, you are, as we speak, on your way to London for tomorrow's England versus Germany clash. Now, we feel a bit sad about this because if we'd been able to allow sufficient crowds here, this match would have been in Lansdowne Road and we'd be welcome you, Guillaume, to Ireland. But what do you have to do when it comes to COVID restrictions in order to get to that match?
Well, I was in Spain for 2 weeks, so I had to come, obviously, to the UK, which means that I am still in the process of isolating. In it's really 5 days, six in fact, because I'm going to have the early test to release. I have had to buy test two, day two and day eight. All that is to a cost of about £500, plus, as I say, the isolation that is taken out of my life. But we are allowed, as we are accredited for the game, to actually go to the game, obviously, to go, in my case, go to an hotel and then go to the game and then go back home. That's all I can do. And at least I'm allowed to do that because I thought at some point that would even be possible.
Mm-hmm. And people talk a lot, don't they, about this huge rivalry between England and Germany. And then there are others who say, well, the rivalry really only goes one way. England see Germany as a big threat, but it's not quite the same in the other direction.
It's quite funny, this one, because in the last 5 decades and a half, it's been zero bad defeats of Germany against England. So, you know, in Germany, they're looking forward to go to Wembley. Okay. They see a lot of English things as something to imitate, especially in football. And, of course, the other way is not exactly the same. In fact, you can still hear people singing about Heskey scoring. I think it was in Munich against Germany, that 5-1 victory. And Germany says, yeah, but actually, this was a qualifier. We made it into the final. You lost in the last 16 in that tournament. You know, yeah. So there's not really a rivalry.
And what sense are you getting from your English colleagues in the press? Are they optimistic about beating Germany?
It's relatively easy to be optimistic when you actually see that the team is not conceding, that they don't concede many chances, that they win games. But also, there seems to be a conflict. On one side, they've been saying, we've got so many good players up front, we should actually play better. On the other, what Gareth Southgate is saying is, look, we don't have a midfield to control games. It's better if we defend with 8 or 9, if possible. There will always be a chance. It's the France way of winning things. You don't fall in love with it, but you keep going round after round. It's just that, you know, could they play better? Absolutely. Would that be enough to go far? Actually, yeah, it could be enough.
I can't wait, though. It's always a great watch. Let's talk about what happened over the weekend. Belgium got past Portugal last night and was one fantastic goal was enough to do it. How do you think they'll cope against Italy on Friday?
Well, it's Roberto Martinez and Belgium are playing the tournament. They're not playing to showcase their talent and they're not risking a lot, are they? They scored and after that, second half was all about defending. But you know, history is written by the winners. And nobody would say, oh, but Portugal deserved this and Portugal could have won the Euros again because Portugal had been knocked out and they were certainly better. In any case, De Bruyne injured, Hazard injured, even though he hasn't been at his best for a long while, is really bad news for Belgium. Italy, they're so exciting. I just feel that they don't have superstars. But right now, Belgium neither. So we could go even to the penalties, this one. Very, very tight.
I want to talk to you about Ronaldo because last night was the night it was expected that he would break the all-time international goal-scoring record. He's not there, which means he's likely to break the record in the World Cup qualifiers. There's no doubt that he's going to stay on now to try and do that because for him, those records really matter, don't they, Guillaume?
Absolutely. He's, 36? He said he was retiring at 41, which is a funny number. Not 40. 41, that's when he wants to retire. And that means he's still got one World Cup to go, maybe some Euros, maybe a second World Cup as well. It's just that he's becoming more and more irrelevant to the team. And people will criticize me for that because they'll say, but he's been the best goal scorer, 5 goals. I'll remind you, 3 penalties, 1 tap-in, 1 header. Inside the box, yes, very important. Outside the box, completely relevant. But he keeps touching the ball, slowing things down and affecting a team that has got lots of talent. But yes, he will think about his record And whatever the manager thinks and the critics and the players, he will be there. And once he's there, he has to play.
Well, guess what? Their next match is against Ireland in the World Cup qualifiers on the 1st of September. So we'll be up against Ronaldo, who'll be on a mission to break his record.
Well, count on it. And he does admit, though, that the individual records for him has got a lot of importance. He wants to and needs to be, as I discovered by doing his biography, on stage constantly. He's in this running machine that one day will stop. And when it'll stop, he will either collapse or if he's prepared for a future still being in the stage, like, for instance, okay, celebrating his records, then he'll be happy.
Guillaume, we'll leave it there. Enjoy England versus Germany, and we will chat again soon.